Okay, Rabotai, tonight is December 26, 2005, or Chaf Vav Kislev. It's the second night of Hanukkah. We are up to Daf Vav Amud Beis, last two lines of the Daf. Last week, we learned the Gemara, the machlokes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon as to how many walls a sukkah must have, three or four, the four or five different ways in which the Gemara explained the machlokes, and today we're going to focus on the third wall, which is the halacha l'moshe Sinai of a tefach. Where in the world you're supposed to place that tefach? If you don't have an art scroll, please take at least, I made copies because they have good diagrams.
Without the diagrams, I'll be talking very hard to do the
Somebody took the Mitzvah, because the Mitzvah has two diagrams that the art pulls up and have, and I can't photostat it because somebody comes with the Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's read the Gemara. V'oso tefach teichon ma'amido. Where do you place that third tefach? Omar Rav, Ma'amido Kineged Hayotze. You put it literally opposite the ones that are standing. Or next to the ones who are standing. That's going to be obvious here. Machlokes. How do you interpret this very simple phrase? Most of us would be tempted to explain this line like Rashi does. Rashi explains that any time, this is the way we've always explained it in the past, that you have two walls which are required, which form a right angle with one another, and then at the tip of either wall, either down here or over here, you put the tefach hayotze connected to the end of one of the existing two walls. So if you look at the... That's correct. So if you look at the Rashi, Rashi gives you, the printer put in a picture which describes Rashi beautifully. You have wall number one on the left-hand side, wall number two on the top, and then you put in the tefach hayotze either on the one attached to the one on the top or the one running along the side, either one. So those two diagrams illustrate completely the way Rashi understands it. The Ritva says that the word Kineged means opposite, not next to, not alongside, but opposite. So I drew my own diagram, just in case that I plan to have the Ritva here, of course. So he says, if you look at the way where Rashi has his diagram, so if you look at the top diagram, it would be, you see next to the word Parut? Mm-hmm. That's where the third tefach would be. In Rashi, you see, right next to the word parut. Just standing out like a yotze doifen. Hanging out there. Exactly. Hanging out there alone. What? Yeah, it would look like that. Or inverted hay. Right. It could be on the top. It can be any place. Like over here. If your two walls were down here like this, it could be up here on the top. As long as it's against the walls or opposite, the walls is either this way or this way, that's how the Ritva understands Kineged Hayotze. Opposite it. That's the Ritva's interpretation. That's the second interpretation. Then there is a third interpretation. Then there is a third interpretation offered by the Ramban, who says that it must be opposite the right angle, opposite the corner which makes the right angle, and at an angle itself, at an angle. Again, if I had the Ritva, he shows a copy of how the Ramban understood it also. So if you look at the diagram that's in Rashi, it would be next to the word haparut, but would not be straight. It would be angled, which would be directly facing the right angle, which is on the top of Rashi's diagram. That's how the Ramban believes the Teva Kineged Hayotze. It would be opposite the right angle in an incline. So it's not perpendicular, it's not horizontal, it's angled towards the right angle, towards the 90 degree angle that is created by the existing two walls. That's how the Ramban understood the words Kineged Hayotze.
That way it
would
have a little bit the two walls.
Correct. In fact, that's how the Rav explained the Ramban and the machlokes between the Ramban and Rashi, which is going to be a critical. The Ramban and the Ritva on the one hand, Rashi and the Ritva on the one hand, Ramban on the other hand. What exactly is the function of this tefach? According to Rashi or the Ritva, the function of the tefach is just to serve as a third wall. Whereas under normal circumstances, a wall has to be 7 tefachim minimum, because the minimum size of a sukkah is zayin al zayin, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, so therefore the walls must be as long as the minimum size of the sukkah. Here simply comes the halacha of Moshe Sinai and says that the third wall need only be one tefach long. But there is no attempt that the third tefach should create the impression that we are totally enclosed. That's not the function of the tefach. The third tefach is to stand there independent, and it's a wall, but as opposed to a normal wall having 3 tefach, 7 tefach, this wall has 1 tefach. It's something like it. Okay, something like it. Whereas according to the Ramban, the function of this tefach, and specifically why it's angled that way, is that this tefach now has to be the symbolic makif of the rest of the sukkah. It creates the impression as if I am enclosed with what? My 4 sides. How does it create that impression? I have 2 regular sides, and by having this little tefach over here in the corner, somehow it's designed to capture something on this side which is open, something on this side which is open, and having the tefach go this way, I somehow capture it and create this third, and not only third, according to the Ramban, it's capturing even the possibility of a fourth wall. Correct. Correct. What the Ramban learned is that the halacha of a tefach is that with one little tefach, I could in effect create the appearance as if there are 4 walls in this sukkah. That's correct. That's the unique halacha of the tefach. That you're right, the sukkah only needs 3. But a normal house has 4, so through the halacha l'maisin Sinai of a tefach, I recreate mechitzot mikarot by having this one tefach placed in the appropriate place. Yeah.
The full wall would be cut, would it be triangular? What? Would it have 3
walls
triangular?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I don't see why not. Why shouldn't it be? I know, but especially according to Rashi, what would be the downside? You need only 2 walls.
So if that's the case, why do you have to say Ramban, put Ramban represents 4 walls? 3 walls.
No, because why, but then why did he, if he only wanted a third wall, he should have agreed to Ritva. How did the Ritva have it? The third wall was somewhere standing there loose, but it doesn't have to be angled against the right angle. See, that would be, that's the Ritva's interpretation. That you only need a symbolic third wall placed any place. So therefore, any wherever you have the right angle, this is the right angle to two existing walls, so you put the either here or there, not attached to the two existing walls. But the Ramban's point that it has to be Ba'alat Zone is, that's the way one understands it. So there are three interpretations as to what it means, Ma'amido Keneged HaYotzei. Rashi is the simple interpretation, in which Keneged does not mean opposite, it means, you know, in effect alongside, right next to, whereas the Ritva and the Ramban both interpret the word Keneged rather literally. The Ritva simply either parallel to any of the two other walls, and the Ramban on the angle facing the 90 degree corner angle that is created by the regular two walls. Yeah. Amrilei Rav Kahana v'Rav Ashi l'Rav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi said to Rav, V'ya'amidenu keneged rosh tor. Why don't you place this last tefach like a rosh tor? So what comes out according to Rashi is the diagram that is up on the top of Zion Amud Aleph. That diagram is that the third tefach is indeed attached to the original two walls. Rashi's not changing his mind about that, but that it should be somewhat angled. That's the question which Rav Kahana asked Rav Ashi. Let it be angled. What do you gain? What is Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi's point of view? Because by angling that third tefach, you create the impression that what? What do you somehow create the impression? That within the sukkah itself, it looks somewhat a little more enclosed. You can create an area which is a little more, at least looks a little more enclosed. And since, as we've said on dozens of occasions, by sukkah, it's not just sufficient to have halakhic walls. You need mechitzos, mikoros. So therefore, the more that you can create the impression, and the function of a wall is indeed to enclose the area, the more you can accomplish that, the better off you are. So Rav Ashi and Rav Kahana, according to Rashi, ask the question, why don't you angle it in such a fashion that you will attach it to what? To one of the existing walls, but let it angle. For the purpose of creating somewhat of a more enclosed appearance.
What's the question of Ramban?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't know. I don't really know. What are they asking? The Ramban already said that it should be angled on that side. I honestly don't know how the Ramban it would have helped if he had said something.
Well,
the problem is he didn't say anything, so I can't figure out what's running through his mind.
The difference is that according to Ramban, the original interpretation was that it's opposite but not continuous with the
correct.
Of course, maybe this one question here is, okay, the angle is right, but maybe you should be maybe you have it attached to the one of the wall.
Here you
the angle is very short.
What?
Okay.
It's still open. So then where was he asking him to play? Where was Rav Kahana asking Rav to take his, see, don't forget, his Ramban was down here, but let's operate, this is the two walls, right? So according to Ramban, his tefach is over here. Where did he want him to move it?
He wanted him to move it to sideways, So now it's no longer by itself, but rather actually, so it should touch what?
Touch one of the other walls. And it says, then it should look like Rashi.
Right. Yeah, in effect, he is.
Maybe.
On an angle, it looks like this.
No, but he said, but he was on an angle according to the Ramban. But on the bottom.
Correct.
According to the Ramban, he wanted to create this effect as if there were four walls. How is that effect being accomplished by the suggestion of Rav Kahana by moving in and attaching it all the way to the top?
Well,
you're not going to get the effect of four walls.
No, but he says that yes, on the bottom, since it's angled opposite, it somehow covers this empty wall and this empty wall. By having something over here, it does something to remove the emptiness that is created here and here, where there is no wall. So now, that was the rift. Where is he asking him to place it? I don't know. I don't know. Don't know. So, Shafik Rav. Rav was silent. Now, I ask you for survey says, when somebody is Shafik, what generally does it mean? What? Some say it means that what? That he's what? He admitted it. You're right. Very nice. And so this is a machloket, so we're showing them how to do it. And we find Shafik quite often in the Gemara. Some say and say, Rav, that's what they did. Didn't happen. And that Rav would agree with. And other Rishonim said he felt it was so silly and he didn't bother, wasn't even worth commenting on. And therefore he just ignored it totally. Okay? Itmar Nami, Omar Shmuel, Mishnei Galevi, Ma'amido Kineged Hayotze. You place the Tefach Kineged Hayotze. V'chein morin bein midrasha. So too do they pass in this way. Halacha l'maisa in the Beit Medrash. Ma'amido kineged hayotze. Well, despite the fact that he said ma'amide that morin bein midrasha, despite the fact that you have Rav saying this and Shmuel saying this, the Gemara is not totally satisfied and will offer a series of other opinions as to how the Tefach should be. Rabbi Shimon, the Itamer Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omar, Ose lo Tefach Shochet, Uma'amido Bipochos Mishloisha Tfachim Somuch Lidolfan, V'chol Pochos Mishloisha Lid Somuch Lidolfan Kilavud Dami. So the way this happens to be is, if you look at the art scroll there on the bottom, art scroll on the bottom, and just if you have the art scroll picture, I hope everybody has it, the B is what the Ramban says. The B. That's exactly the Ramban's diagram. The B is the Ramban's diagram. B is the Ramban's diagram. Correct? The next suggestion is on the bottom of the page, next to the number 3. That's Rabbi Shimon's. What you do is, you take that board, which is standing there alone, that's a Tefach board, and you place it exactly within 3 Tefachim of the far wall. Within 3 tefachim of the far wall. What do you accomplish with this? You now create an imaginary 4 tefachim wall. Because you apply the halakha of lavud, that anything that is connected with anything within 3 tefachim is connected. So make believe this 1 tefach wall is now connected to what? To what? To the other wall. That's what the Tefach Hayotze does. That's what the Tefach Hayotze is supposed to be, according to Rabbi Shimon. And I will show you in a couple of minutes how Rabbi Shimon, in effect, is reinterpreting the entire purpose of the Tefach. I'll show you in a couple of seconds. No, but the wall is only a Tefach.
Right.
With Rabbit, and you have left almost 4 Tefachim. Correct. What do you accomplish by having 4 tefachim? You have a rise of how long a wall is supposed to be. Since the minimum of a wall is supposed to be 7 tefachim, the minimum of a wall is 7, because the minimum of a sukkah is Zion al Zion. Therefore, what you have now accomplished is to have at least rise of a wall. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Shimon says. Yeah. Now, what exactly is he accomplishing with his making it this way? What's he accomplishing by doing this? So this is a very important shita, and what he does here is redefine the whole halacha of the Sefer HaYotze. And let me use this to explain a very important discussion. Okay? Many of you have heard of the halacha of Rubai Tikulo, that whenever you have the majority of something, you can consider it like what? Like the whole thing. For example, Pesach at night, it's not you're not obligated to drink the entire cup of wine. All you have to do is drink one cup. Now the question is, under what circumstances do you rely on rice, and under what circumstances do you have no right to rely on rice? For example, would anybody ever suggest that if you eat a little more than a half a desire of matzah, you're yoytze the mitzvah because you ate rice here? It's rice desire. Would anybody ever suggest that? Obviously not. So listen carefully what the rule from it. The rule is that whenever you have a shi'ur itself, a real shi'ur, we never apply the halakha of Ruba Shikula. Never apply the halakha of Ruba Shikula. When you have a lulav, it has to be four tefachim high, we don't say that if it's two plus a mashu, that it's okay. No. A sukkah has to be zayin al zayin. It has to be zayin al zayin. You don't say, you know what? You don't really need it for a sukkah that's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim long. All you really need is what? 3.51 Then you have a rise, and then you say Ruba Tikulai. You never say that. When do you apply the halakha of Ruba Tikulai? The Rav says it, Sam Seifer says it, many people say it. When you have a chesed. When you have a chesed. For example, if the halakha was on Pesach at night, that you must drink, that the halakha would be drink wine, drink four reviews of wine, then we would never say Ruba Tikulai. You would have to drink a four reviews each time. But the mitzvah of Arba Kaisis is not defined as Arba Lishtot, Arba Te'amin, 3.3 fluid ounces, whatever happens to be a reviews, 1.4, whatever it is. No! The halakha is in a kaisis. The mitzvah is defined as a kaisis. So whenever you have a chesed, which happens to contain a certain amount, the minimum for a kohen happens to be what it would be. So there, since the din is quoted not in terms of the quantity, but rather the kohen is the definition of the mitzvah, that's where you apply the halakha of rice. And we say, by arba kohen, all you have to do is drink rice kohen. You do not have to drink. In fact, it goes for chumrah as well by avakaisis. If you want to have a big gebecher with 5 reviews of wine in it, 15 ounces of wine, then what? You got to drink 7.5 ounces every single time. Because the halacha is in kais. It's not measured by reviews. So here, under normal circumstances, either you need a wall of 7.5, that's the regular machine. And rice cannot work at all. What does the halacha of the Mishnah come along and say here according to Rabbi Shimon? Not that you need a tefach. No, that's not what it says. You know what the halacha of the Mishnah is saying here?
No.
That you'll say Ruba Tikulai. That even though under normal circumstances when there is a sheer requirement, we never apply the principle of Ruba Tikulai. Here in this situation, you do say Ruba Tikulai. So what is the bare minimum that you can get away with and create Ruba Tikulai? All you need is a tefach. Why? Because what will you now rely on? You rely on the halakha of Lavud. So now, once you have the halakha of Lavud, in effect, you have a make-believe war of at least 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim is what? More than 50%. And I'll tell you why it's not 3.51 in the same. We'll see in a second. We'll show you the man's that factor. But that's what happens. So up until now, whenever we've discussed the halacha l'maaseh din of a tefa, what is the halacha l'maaseh din of a tefa? A tefa. It's a halacha in a tefa. It's a halacha that a tefa equals a wall. That's the way we always perceive what the halacha l'maaseh din says. And that's true according to everybody, and Rav and Shmuel and so on and so forth. Comes to Rav Shimon and says, no, everybody missed the boat. The definition, the halakha l'maaseh din Sinai, is not saying what. It's not saying that the third wall needs to be a tefah. No. It's saying that the third wall can rely on the halakha of Rubai Tekula. But the minimal way to create Rubai Tekula is by a tefah wall and then taking advantage of the halakha of Lover. Correct? Correct? That's what's happening. That's what's happening. And I'll explain another halacha that works out very well according to this understanding of this definition. Take, for example, Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, Rabotai? Let's assume you have to put up a machitza. A machitza for davening, a machitza for carrying. Tell me what the dimension, tell me the following. If I have, I have to enclose an area which is 25 feet by 25 feet. Okay? How much wall do you actually need? Okay? How much wall do you actually need? How much material are you going to have to buy to build your wall? You do not have to build enough for 25 feet on each side. Why? Because we allow open gaps. How much of an open gap do we generate? People want Eruvin, right? So what's the normal? And the Shabbos and Eruvin read in Daf Yomi. So by now, everything should be Baruch Hashem. What's the halacha? That if you have omeid meruba al haparut, that's fine. If the majority of the area that is enclosed with a fence is greater than the area that is open, under those circumstances, the machitza is kosher. So if I want to enclose an area and I put, let's assume there's this table on the wall, so here is the table, let's say it's 10 shekels more. This is only 5 shekels. Here's another 10. I can tolerate a gap of 5 shekels because I have more omeid than parut. That's how I'm often called by the kula, the chisa. Not by sukkah. By sukkah, it's not sufficient that what? That you rely on that omeid yeser ala parut. Why, Rabotai? Why? Because in all other areas of halacha, what is the only measurement of machitza? What is the only significant measurement of the machitza? The height. That's it. The only thing. How high does the machitza have to be? 10 tefachim. There is never a shi'ur given in terms of the wall. The wall, the length, is simply a function of what? The space that you want to occupy. So when you want to occupy that space, you have a right to say that if it's unmade, meruba al ha'olus, if what? If the that which is standing is greater than what? That which is open, plus one of the halacha that you remember, that you can tolerate a piercer of gap of up to 10 amos, up to 10 amos. Because that you will consider what? A doorway, a pesach in, that's fine, you can have a pesach up to 10 amos, which is a big, big club. If you're looking for, you know, to put up a wall in your backyard, a fence around your backyard, you don't even have to fence the whole thing in. So I have, you know, quite a decent sized opening. But by the chitza of a sukkah, where the halacha is that what? You need Zion al Zion, in addition to Asarat Sukkah, because that is the minimum size of a sukkah, then, just as you're not going to rely on the halacha of what? Of Ruba Tekulai, you can't rely on the halacha of unmade Meruba ala Parusina. What you need is walls which are walls. comes along the halacha of Moshe Mishinai and says, you know what? You should rely on a halachic world, but you don't need a real world. You should rely on lovers, imaginary world. So in this wall which we created, a halachic wall, we're making believe that this wall is 7 fucking long. Which physically, how much lumber are you using? One hefach length. So we're going to ignore the halacha of Oime Meruba la Parut. It's going to be Parut Meruba la Oime. We're going to rely on what? The halacha of lovers. That's the halacha of Moshe Mishina. The halacha of Moshe Mishina, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not that you say the Pesach, that you can use halacha gizmos to make a wall. Lies, lovers, the rest by the other two walls, no chach. A wall is a wall. Yes. Okay, we're going to get to that. That's going to be the case of Sukkah HaAtsuya Kemavui, a couple of lines down, where the two walls that you have are not contiguous to one another, but just the way you describe it. How can get to that in 2 seconds? We'll see what that is. We're not up to that yet. That's going to be rubber. We'll get to that in a minute. But that's the halacha of Rabbi Shimon. Oh, Rabbi Shimon. So he is a very important sheikh because he redefines for what the purpose of halacha l'moshe mishinai is.
So how did we understand, before we got to Rabbi Shimon, we have a tefach, let's say, in a simple case where it's contiguous with the other two?
Right.
What is that tefach complement?
It's the halacha l'moshe mishinai that the third wall can only have to be a tefach. That's it.
It's just, it's not
nothing that extends. It does, exactly. Don't look at it extensions. Extensions don't work. It's just that it has to be only a tefach. Yeah. So whereas Midra Olaisa tell you to be sad, the first and second wall have to be 7 tefachim, this is the halacha of Moshe. This wall has to be a tefach. That's it. But don't work with extensions. Not work with extensions. Correct. No imaginary wall.
That's correct. Precisely. Let me just explain what Rabbi Shimon said. Osher lo tefach shochet. There are two different types of tefachim lahalacha. One tefach is when you make a fist. So if you make a fist, obviously there's no space between one finger and the next, and it takes up the minimum amount. But if you have a tefach like this, where your fingers are spread out, that obviously is going to take up a little more space. So shochet is a tefach where you have your fingers spread out, which is the largest tefach, as opposed to making a tight fist tefach. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Omar Rav Yehuda, Mamagain Zaitin, Sukkah Hu Atsuya Kimavui Kseiram, the Oso Tefach Ma'amido Lechol Ruach Shiyirte. Rav Yehuda said that if I have a Sukkah that is made like a Mavui, just as he said, Mr. Pizer, two walls of the Sukkah parallel with one another. So Rashi here gives you the diagram. So what are you supposed to do? Rabbi Huda says, where do you put the third tefach? So now you can put the third tefach, you know, on the top, on the bottom, makes no difference. So nothing is contiguous with one another, and the third tefach, the third wall will be in between the two. That's perfectly okay. Rabbi Shimon, the Iten Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omar, no. Oselo pas arbo'o umashehu, umamido bepachos mishlosha, somuch ledoifon, tchol pachos mishlosha, somuch ledoifon, pilavu dog. What are you supposed to do? You can't just take a tefach under those circumstances. You need a board that is at least 4 tefachim long, at least 4 tefachim long, and you put it You can't just put it any place. You have to put it within three tefachim of one of these two parallel walls, within three tefachim. So now, what have I created through this? What have I created? What have I created, Rabotai? A third wall. How am I creating the third wall? With the halacha like the Sinai, which says you can rely on gizmo. What gizmo am I relying in this case? Halacha of love. And then Lubus, but you don't even really need, you don't need Lubus to Kula. Because once you have Lubus, it's four, real, and it's full. Correct. So now the Gemara should ask the question, why can't I use Ruba Shikula here? Correct. Just use a Tefach and then Ruba Shikula. Put a Tefach next to Lavud. So now, just like you said before, why don't I, so the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. That's the Gemara's next question. Umaishna Hasam Bika'amrit Shagya Tefach Shokhe. Why is it before, when you have two contiguous walls to one another, so all you need for the third wall is a tefach, provided that you place the tefach within lavud of what? Of one of the existing walls. Umais nahacha dekaamid baya pas harba'a. And why over here do you require what? A board which is at least four tefachim. And then you take the board of four tefachim plus the three of lavud, and now you have your third wall. Answer to the mount. Hasam deika shtei defanos kihu chasam. That's the way our Gersa reads. There is another Gersa as well. But our Gersa reads. Hasam deika shtei defanos kihu chasam. Sadile de ketak shochek. Hacha deleka shtei defanos. Here there aren't two halachic walls. Iika pas arba in ilo lo. So he says as follows: if your two walls are like this with right angles, then on the third side all you need is a tefach. Where do you place that tefach? Within lo. Now you have a right to use two halachas to create your imaginary third wall. You create lavud, and then the halacha of Ruma Shikula. Why do I rely on that? Because you already have two walls creating the impression that we're building a house. Creates already a dira, looks a little like a dira. So we can complete the dira look with your imaginary halachic resource. But in the case of Mr. Pizer, where we have the two walls of the sukkah are parallel to one another, sukkah ha'asuyatimavui, that doesn't generate the impression at all that this is a house. This doesn't look like a dira. It looks like a mavui. But if you can see out of both sides, it doesn't create any enclosure whatsoever. Therefore, in order to create the dira aspect, the halakha l'maisin sinai you can't ignore. But it will only allow you to use what? One halachic gizmo and no two halachic gizmos. Therefore, which halachic gizmo will I apply? Halachic lavo. What halachic gizmo will I not apply? Can't use halachic uva tikula. Therefore, the fourth wall, excuse me, the third wall has to be four tefachim long, and it is placed within lavo. As a result, I now have my third imaginary wall of seven tefachim. Of seven tefachim. What is that? But schach has nothing to do with it. It still has to create the dira upon it. If what? Why? But it's open on both sides. Okay, that's what he says. If it looks too open. That's why sukkah has at least three walls. Three walls. And without halacha like this, I would have said three, four walls. Yeah. What? On a machitza, right. But what, what Dale's asking is that once you already have the two parallel walls and you have the tzchach, that would already create the dira aspect. But I hear what you say. I could have argued that too. But his point is that since it's open on both sides, no place do you create an enclosure which is somehow lacking in dira.
What's the dira
level of the boat? A doesn't need an enclosure. Mavui just means two. A mavui is a courtyard between two houses. Not two rows of houses. That's what the normal mavui is. Well, it's two courtyards. An alleyway, yeah. Yeah, but it's not open, not enclosed. It's open. Nothing on top, right?
The case of the two parallel walls, presumably they are 7,000 foot from each other, right?
Yes.
So why do you need to have the fourth or third, the fourth epoch length wall in the middle, right? You could have it against one of the walls also, because the love would still extend only three tefachim, and that's just...
Right. On the third wall, you have the two walls, which are over here. Oh, they're 7.5 tefachim apart. 7 tefachim apart.
Where do you place one? Where do you place that fourth?
The third wall. Over here. Within either side. Within Lovewood on either side.
Okay, so it could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the center.
No. Okay. No, that's... As long as it's within Lovewood to one of the... Mm-hmm. That's correct. Now, again, to impress upon you the need of a wall, all Rishonim ask the kasha, that if I'm looking at Lovewood, if I'm using at Lovewood, and I want to get to Rubai Tikulo, so I need a 7, right? How thick should the board have been? It should not even have to be a tefa. How much should it have been? How wide should that third wall be? I'm relying on the three tefachim of Lovewood. And I want to get to Roy. How much should it be?
0.3.5,
exactly. 0.5, exactly. What do we need a full tefa for? So what all we say of all the tefa say, that again, it's something like, I'll give you an example. When you want a bench, with the zinc, you want a daven with a minion, I'll give you both flip sides. You want a daven with a minion. How many people do you need to be currently davening to have a little bit deeper? 6. He is right. But then it's a minion. It's for the minion. For benching, what do you need? You need 7. You need ruba daminka, 7 eating bread. Why? Because by Berachas and Matzos, it's not just that you have to demonstrate that there's a kvius, there's a whole kabula activity taking place. So when you look, when you need another criteria, something to create another effect, you never rely exactly on rain, but you need a noticeable rain, a ruba de minkai. Same thing that everyone says here as well. You want to create. If we just rely pure on Ruba Tikulai, yes, 3.51 is Ruba Tikulai. But you're trying to create a machitza here. A machitza nikeret, as the Gemara said 50 times. So to create machitza nikeret, if I'm going to be relying on Roy, it's got to be what? A Ruba Dominkai. Something that you can see. How do you see? Because every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows the halakha of Lovewood. Now if the wall is one tefach wide, you can see that it's already four represents a ruba d'minka of the 7 that are required. Everybody says that.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Rabbi Simon, in the Mavoy case, rely on Mavoy. Could you just as well pick to rely on the other imaginary approach?
Such as?
Forget about Mavoy and the...
Yes, but then the wall would have to be a lot bigger.
No. It's 4, 3, 4, 7 apart, and it's 4 with...
And a chanon.
So that it's not be within 3... Of course, it's a gateway. You didn't take that and tell it over...
You mean... Yes. That's correct. But here he's operating on the...
Yep.
No, but now it depends. How big is your sukkah?
How far apart of the two?
Yeah.
7.5.
Okay, but let's happen with a minimum 7.
Okay, well,
so wherever you put the 4 in, you're automatically there. But let's assume your other two walls are 10.
Yes.
What will we say?
7.5.
What will we say? Is that enough?
Well, it has to be row of 6. I
still kind of
take the point
that they're fine. Correct, then it's fine. He doesn't need the halakha of rabbi. His real point is to create a machine for a judge. Correct. But the reason why he's telling you to rely on rabbi is to save you carpenter cost. So the lumber yard, you can get all the left lumber. How many days like it? On my rubber. A rubber changes the conditions completely. On my rubber, Ve'eino niteres ela b'tzuas ha-pesach. Rava says, no, that that when you're relying on this third wall, this halakha l'mayshin Sinai, what do you have to do? It's not just a pesach. You have to put there as well a tzuas ha-pesach. The wall is what? A tefach long, and now, from that wall to the end of the next wall, you have to create a tzuas ha-pesach. So you put a pole here and a pole there, and a wire across. That's what he required. Question is, on what case is he requiring that? So the simplest interpretation is, which case is he requiring it? In the case of sukkah kriyas ha-mavui, where the walls are not attached at all. So now, when you only have two walls standing parallel to one another, and now you want to create the third wall, I need more than a tefach. I need more than a halakhic gizmo. What do I need? I need a real suicide tefach. That's one version of rava. Each of the ami on the rava, v'niteres nami b'suicide tefach. Not that what? You needed it in addition to be pasar ba'al, according to Rabbi Shimon, or according to the tefach, whichever one you use, but it's an alternate way. Either you put up, there are two ways to create this pesach. Either how? By putting up the wall and relying on lavud and the imaginary rubat yikulon, or you simply create the appearance of a third wall by what? By putting up a tzuras ha-pesach. Putting up the tzuras ha-pesach.
Doesn't work for the first wall?
No. That would be now the halakha l'mayshin Sinai. Only for the third wall. Correct. A suis ha-pesach. That a suis ha-pesach creates a wall for sukkah, that would be a halakha gizmo. So that's the second interpretation. Yikada Amri, Amar Rava, the third version, need both. The first version said that what? First version said that forget about the pots. You don't need four. The only way to do it is a tzuras ha-pesach. Second version says either or. Either your board or a tzuras ha-pesach. Third version says no, you need both. You have to have the pots. You rely on lavud. And you must have a tzuras ha-pesach as well. So, right. No, you, according to the third version, you are. Because you need the pas arba'a. Pas arba'a, next to lavud, plus a tzuras ha-pesach. Now, what does that tzuras ha-pesach accomplish? So, what he's doing is he's minimizing the use of the rubah shekulai. I'm using rubah shekulai, but I need some type of hekher, some type of symbol that there is the appearance of a wall at this particular point. Ravashi, askichei l'rav kahane zeka'ava tefach shokhech zeka'ava tzuras ha-pesach. Rav Ashi noticed that Rav Kahana, when he was making his sukkah, put up the tefach shokhes, and he put up the tzuras ha-pesach. Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, lo sovar ma'al lahoza, amar rava,
v'niteres nami v'tzuris ha'tasa. Didn't you hear that Rava said one or the other is sufficient? Amalei, anok yidach lishna the Rava svirulei. The Amalava utzricha nami v'tzuris ha'tasa. I believe that what that you need in addition to this, you need tzuris ha'tasa as well. Tzuris ha'tasa as well. Yeah. Now, the mere fact that Rava gets into the picture creates all kinds of halakhic dilemmas for the Gedolei HaPoskim. Because everybody has heard of the fact that under normal circumstances, let's start with the sugya at the beginning. Rav and Shmuel. Oh, Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel agreed with one another. All Rav said was that what? What's the halakha? You need a mamino keneged hayotze. That's all you have to do. Fine. So, lahalacha, everybody passes like Rav in that regard. Everybody passes like that, Rav. That all you need is keneged hayotze. However, where do people decide to apply Rabbi Shimon's halacha? Where would halacha Rabbi Shimon be? In the case of the Sukkah HaSuya Kamavu. So in the case of Sukkah HaSuya Kamavu, we don't rely on the halacha L'mayshin Yishima. Don't rely on halacha L'mayshin Yishima. Why? Because if you think of the Ramban. His principle will illustrate it clearly. What was the purpose, according to the Ramban, of that angled one tefach? What's the purpose of it? To create a complete enclosure. A complete enclosure. Right? So now if you have, if your walls are parallel to one another, and you put your tefach on one side, sure you've closed up the third side. But what have you not done yet? The fourth side looks completely open. So, whereas that was why the Ramban disagreed with the Ritva. The Ritva claimed that what is the purpose of the Tefa? Just to what? Just symbolic to what? To create a third wall. So it looks like it's enclosed on three sides. But the mindset remains open. Whereas the Ramban wanted that this Tefa should now create an impression as if the Sukkah is totally enclosed. That can't be accomplished simply by having what? One Tefa standing out like a sore thumb on one of the open two sides. Therefore, what do you have to do? You have to have a little more. What do you now have to have? Either what? The Pashwach of Agorah or the Tumas HaPesa. Because once you have a Tzuris HaPesach, that creates the halacha as if it would be a mechitza. I mentioned to you several weeks ago, we looked at a Tzuris later, a little later on. But in relationship to Shabbat, correct. That it, where you need mechitzos, so what will you do according to Tzuris is one shita, that you don't have to put up mechitzos. All you got to do is put up what? Put up Tzuris HaPesach all around, and that's it. So to some extent, we're using that here on the third side. On the third side, to create that effect of the enclosed area, we are using that principle of a Tzuris HaPesach. And that's how you use it only. But if you have the wall, 90 degree angle, nobody requires a Tzuris HaPesach under those circumstances. All you need is the Tefach. Either you learn it like Rashi, the Ritva, the Ramban, but this halacha of Pasar Bo, or Tzuris HaPesach, or both, is only when the walls are parallel to one another and cannot begin to create the halacha of what? Of a deer of an enclosed deer. This whole idea, Rabotai, sheds light on a basic question that we raised weeks ago. Weeks ago, when we started something. Remember we raised the question as to what constitutes the halakhic essence of a sukkah. So the simple, the way many Rishonim claim, that the only thing that creates the halakhic status of a sukkah is what? It's a tzach. Al-shem, a tzach, a tzach, through your sukkah.
But in relation,
the funnels are just, okay,
yeah,
the, you have to put the crack on something,
but the funnels themselves don't necessarily create, are not necessarily part of the scripture definition. From this Gemara, you see that if that were the case, level time, then the juxtaposition of the walls should play absolutely no role whatsoever. If you learn that from the word basuka, hitting three walls, I couldn't care less if they're triangles, they're parallels when you put a seven, I don't care. But if you believe that the defunos also help create the halakhic yigeret, the halakhic category of a sukkah, then we can understand that part of the function of the mechitza is to do what? Is to create the dira impression to enclose. Therefore, if it is enclosed with the right angle, you'll require less on that third side. But if there is no enclosure sense whatsoever, you have to rely on much greater halakhic requirements, either the pas arba'a for the border four or the sumas apasa, because the machitos themselves are contributing to the definition of what a sasuka. It's not purely the schach itself. Yeah. And in fact, just to reiterate and reinforce everything we said, take a look at Kaisus' comment on the Eimin Eteris Ela B'Tzura Sapratach. Those of you who know it, how thick, how wide must the kind of be? On the normal, when you're talking about a Tzura Sapratach. When you're talking about a Tzura Sapratach. Nothing. Correct. Nothing. All it has to be capable is that Eime, the Ruach Mitzuya. The Latin, that all your needs are what? That it should be able to withstand a normal wind. That's it. No fixes required. Yeah, take a look at Taisha. Look at Taisha says. And here, you know, you're going to have to make the Shura Sapasach Perush. Ellen Kane Aso'o the Oso Tepach. Shura Sapasach. Al Tanei Kol HaGoyfen Kulo. Keitra. Kona Shel Chatsi Tepach Eichel Hayotzei. The kana hasi tefach the mitzvah shekinegdo, the kana al gavehen, to have their way to ilu kol hadofen sotom. Lo and behold, here all of a sudden there is a requirement how thick, how wide the kana must be. How wide does it have to be? Half a tefach, so that I still have the full tefach employed. Half a tefach here, half a tefach here, kana al gavehen. Why, once again, because of the fact that if your purpose was, and I reiterate, if my Hilchot Shabbos, what is your objective, only demarcation line, that this is a Rishus HaYachid versus outside the rope is a Rishus HaRabin, and I don't need anything fancy. Anything that halakhically serves as a demarcation line, that's fine. So a karma can be made out of a piece of string, and then you just put the wire across, no problem whatsoever. But here, when you're trying to create, and we say the word again, Nechitzos Nikolos, that even though I'm still relying on playing halakhic gizmo, namely a Tzura Sapesach, but the Tzura Sapesach has to have a little more oomph. How does Tosfos claim that the Tzura Sapesach has oomph? That at least the Shtei Kanot, the two poles, equal the Tzapach. Half a tefach here, half a tefach here. That requires that a Tzura Sapesach must have a specific shear appears nowhere else whenever Tzura Sapesach is used. Not by Hilchot Shabbos, not by Erevin, no place. This is the only time. Because again, it's not used only as a demarcation place, it's used to create a wall. Once you want to use it to create a wall, it needs something a little more substantive than the halakhic Tzura Sapesach itself. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue. Okay.